never know how much I love you, never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. You give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. You give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Everybody's got the fever, that is something you won't know. Fever isn't such a new thing, fever started long ago. Oh, yeah. Romeo loved Juliet, Juliet, she felt the same. When he put his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. Thou givest fever when we kiss it, fever with thy flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soothe. Captain Smith and Pocahontas had a very mad affair. When her daddy tried to kill him, she said, Daddy, oh, don't you dare. He gives me fever with his kisses, fever when he holds me tight. Fever, I'm his missus. Daddy, won't you treat him? Listened to my story. Here's the point that I have made. Chicks were born to give you fever, be it Fahrenheit or centigrade. They give you fever when you kiss them, fever if you live and learn. Fever till you sizzle. What a lovely way to burn. What a lovely way to burn. What a lovely way to burn. What a lovely way to burn.
Today's bulletin brought to you by Your Sound, Your Community, Alive 90.5.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Brady Evans. Australians in India who fail a pre-flight coronavirus test will be banned from boarding when rescue planes restart from May 15th. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has announced the travel ban would end on its planned expiry date following a fierce backlash against the harsh measures. There will be three flights this month to bring back the most urgent cases, with 900 vulnerable citizens and permanent residents stranded in India. All arrivals will be quarantined at the Northern Territory's Howard Springs mining camp. Mr. Morrison says returning passengers will have to provide a negative test to board the plane.
Rapid antigen testing is a requirement and a negative test to get on board a flight to Australia. I'm sure that's what all Australians would expect.
The Reserve Bank has surprised no one with more upbeat expectations for Australia's economic recovery. but significant monetary support will continue, supporting the creation of wealth by home buyers who can bank on low interest rates for some years. The latest statement on monetary policy says monetary policy will need to remain highly accommodative for some time yet. Australia's GDP growth was faster than anticipated in the December quarter and is expected to have remained solid in the March quarter. The Australian Federal Police will recruit hundreds of women under a new strategy to boost the number of female officers to a third of the force within 7 years. Women currently comprise 22% of sworn AFP officers, including police and protective service officers. AFP Commissioner Rhys Kershaw identified boosting female workforce participation as a key priority when he was appointed in 2019. Commissioner Kershaw says it's important the force reflects the community it serves.
As a modern police service, the AFP values the needs and the different perspectives, approaches and lived experience of all Australians. And we know that our diversity and diversity of thought makes us stronger. And that's why we're appealing to more women out there today and people from diverse backgrounds to consider a career in the AFP.
New Zealand's top doctor believes the risk to Kiwis from two new COVID-19 cases from Sydney is small, but enough to justify the suspension of quarantine-free flights from New South Wales. New South Wales has recorded no new infections today, but authorities are still in the dark as to how the virus escaped hotel quarantine. Yesterday, the New Zealand government halted quarantine-free travel from Australia's biggest state for 48 hours. New Zealand's Director General of Health, Ashley Bloomfield, told Radio NZ the government will be following the situation closely.
It's good that that's recent, so it's not like there's been infection bouncing around in the community. But there is still a missing chain of transmission there, a missing link, as it were. We just thought, on balance, the most prudent thing at this point was to pause.
Turning to sport, the Wallabies and France will meet in three rugby union tests in the space of 11 days in July. The first test will be played at the Sydney Cricket Ground on July 7th, the second in Melbourne almost a week later, and the third in Brisbane on July 13th. The condensed series is due to French club commitments and hotel quarantine requirements for the visitors. Both countries will name larger squads than normal for the series, given it's unlikely they can field the same starting sides in successive tests due to the short turnaround.
National Radio News, produced by Charles Sturt University, the Community Radio Network, and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5.
8 minutes past one here on Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Matt. Currently sitting at 21.5 degrees. Been a slightly rainy, slightly sunny day today with possible showers. Tops at 22. Tomorrow and the weekend, it's going to be mostly sunny. Guys, I'm excited for it. Tops at 25 tomorrow on the Saturday and tops at 22 on the Sunday.
And now on Alive 90.5, here's the latest traffic information.
Campbelltown, Narrowland Road at Blaxland Road. There's been a car breakdown. 1 of 4 westbound lanes closed. Exercise caution. Expect some delays today. Eastern Creek, M4 motorway at the M7 motorway on ramp. There's been a truck crash. Eastbound traffic is heavily affected. Exercise caution. Allow some extra travel time there. And in Mount Victoria, Great Western Highway between Victoria Falls Road and Harley Avenue. It's been a hazard of a landslip. Traffic affected in both directions. Expect delays. Allow some extra travel time and exercise caution. This is Business Insights with Mario and Matt. We've had an amazing first guest, Sue Campbell-Rose. And across from me is our next guest, Liam Power, who I'm extremely, extremely intrigued by and very excited to bring to you all here listening to Business Insights. Mario, are you excited?
I'm very excited, but, you know, I just can't wait to hear that magic. Liam, welcome to the show. Welcome for traveling from the Kingsford to come today with us and be in the studio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Liam, you're a magician. Let's go cut at this, you know, that mystery, you know, around you. Liam, it's magician, you know, like I saw the magic, you know, a few years ago. I was with my son in Surfers Paradise, and there was all these stands there, you know, like, and for the tourists were passing by, and the guy was selling the magic wallet, you know, I mean, things put inside disappear. That was only my magic. But before we start talking about things, you know, like about the magic truly is, who is Liam Power? Thank you very much. That was our guest, Liam Power, who was representing himself very well. I
vanished, yes. who am I?
Who you are, and what's your? I see the credit card there, so please, you can share with us PIN number later on. So that's what it's like.
Yeah, CCV expiry date. Yeah.
Yes.
No, I'm a magician. I live in Sydney. I've been doing it for 19 years, but full time since 2008. Before that I was a chef, and then before that I was in school.
There's no school, I saw. But you know, you say in your bio you went in Thailand and magic happened.
So how did I get into magic? So very long story short, because we've only got an hour all up. My dad was in the travel industry, so we were in Thailand over the Christmas school holidays, end of year 10. I was about 16 years old. He had a friend from Canada originally who lived there quite out in the sticks in Thailand, quite out northwest, I think, from memory, or northeast. And like there were no tourists in town at all. We went to have Christmas with him, with Nick, and one of Nick's other friends was in town. His name was Fran. He was a magician from America, and he was doing magic for the Red Cross out there, doing shows. And so basically on Christmas morning, he came over and showed me all this amazing magic, and I was just like, oh my God, I want to do that. So for the next 2 days, I followed him around kind of like a puppy. And then kept pestering him, and he eventually taught me one trick, and that's what got me started. And then at the same time, I moved high schools for year 11 and 12 so I could do part of my chef apprenticeship as part of my HSC. And so I had an hour commute each way to and from school, so I spent 2 hours a day just practicing magic. And then that's kind of how I got into it.
Magic, hey, look, just in my mind, I'm just thinking about all these tricks and everything else, and, you know, how hard was for you to learn magic? Like, obviously, there's no school, like, you know, people teach you all these tricks and everything else, but you need to, you know, be creative, innovative, and I mean, and being somebody who, you know, you need to remember trick by trick, you know, I mean, it's an illusion. So was it hard for you to remember all these tricks, or what helped you to memorize all this?
Did
you try to impress the chicks or something? I mean, like,
I don't think magic doesn't impress the chicks.
Oh, really?
Much, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like learning anything. If you're going to learn guitar or piano or whatever, it's the same process of repetition, really. It's just muscle memory and conscious practice, I suppose. Not just mindlessly going through it, but consciously going through it. And as far as finding out the information, this was quite a long time ago. So this is 2001 I started. So magic's more accessible than ever now. It's probably almost too accessible. It's like, you know, if you want to find out magic, it's on YouTube everywhere. There's, you know, online magic stores that'll sell you books or downloads or DVDs with information to secrets. And it was basically the same back then. You know, it's a little bit harder, but you could go to the library and get beginner's magic books, and then you can go to a magic shop. There was two in Sydney back then, and you could buy books on how to do it or DVDs, and then visiting magicians from around the world would lecture, and you would go along and learn like that. And then from that, you kind of have your basics, and then you start to create your own ideas and effects and things like that. So, yeah.
But magic is not just showing the tricks. It's an entire process, you know, engaging the public speaking. And you had a quite impressive resume, being TEDx and what's it called, that charity, Fred Hollows. You've been in Cambodia, movie, documentary. Can you tell us something more about this part of your life? Or maybe I'll read somebody else's resume.
No. It's basically a combination of just luck and knowing the right people. I think so the things that I did in Cambodia with the Fred Hollows Foundation, that was I know Gabby Hollows, Fred's wife and the chair of the Fred Hollows Foundation, quite well. So, yeah, she organised that for me to go over there and perform some magic for their patients once they got their eyesight back. So that was incredibly rewarding and moving.
How did you felt when you saw, like, you know, that's people like Sushi does, you know, with the people with disability, then suddenly you're doing with the children who are the eyesight was being restored, and the first one I can obviously see, it's not just you, but the magic. What was the feeling for
you? It was quite bizarre, to be honest. Yeah, I wasn't the first thing they saw. So, you know, they saw their families and everything like that.
Okay, try to sell you now. So like,
no, we had some funny comments, like some a gentleman, I think I can't remember. It had been, he hadn't been able to see properly for, it was around 5 or 6 years. And he saw this magic. He went, "Oh wow, the world's changed a lot in the last 5 years." Like, he just thought everyone could do it. So he's like, "Oh wow, how did this happen?" You know. So, yeah, no, look, it was it was amazing, but also very very humbling. And you know, like, it's great to keep things in perspective. You know, what I do, it's fun and it provides a bit of light entertainment, but really, it's not a patch on what they do. So, but yeah, and. But it was, yeah, I still think about it every week. You know, it was one of the most, sort of moving and emotional experiences I've ever had. So,
okay, so I want to ask honest opinion now. You know, I just wanted feedback of yours. When you do your, you know, trick for somebody and you perform and everybody's like just a silent and everybody's like, how did it happen? What goes through your mind?
It's, to be honest, I'm more thinking about the next thing I'm going to do.
Uh-huh, okay.
At that point.
The next thing you're going to do?
No, no. So if I'm doing a trick and you have that moment at the end when everybody's stunned or silent or whatever, what's going through my mind is, right, what can I do next? How can I take advantage of that situation to do another bit of magic that's even better? Rather than like, you know, worrying about their reaction so much, but it's more like, oh, good, it worked. You know,
So, before we take the break, can you make us, you know, like, just like fly to the, you know, from Australia to Europe? Like, can you do some trick? You know, I mean, just put the something under the.
Oh, get around Peter Dutton.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a very useful skill.
Guys, it's Business Insights with Mario and Matt. It is 18 minutes past one. I'm enjoying this conversation. Mario, I know you are as well. And guys, stay with us. We'll be back soon.
Alive 90.5.
Ladies and gents, turn up the sound system to the sound of Carlos Santana in the GMB. Ghetto Blues from the refugee camp.
Oh, Maria, Maria, she remind me of a West Side Story, growing up in Spanish Harlem.
Maria, Maria, ah, 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 she fell in B&B. Yo, Carlos, man, you making that guitar cry.
Hi, Alan Barnes from Dural Pool Shop. Do you know you can upgrade your existing pool pump, chlorinator and heating to world-class energy efficiency? We have been advising customers on ways to improve their pool energy efficiency for many years and can discuss and offer several energy strategies that will reduce your carbon footprint and save you money. Speak to one of the team on 9651 4799 or visit Dural Pool Shop opposite the Vicar Hotel on New Line Road, Dural. We'll help you to get your pool looking just how you want it.
A proud station sponsor.
Heels to Hawkesbury Community News is a fortnightly free local publication packed with stories about local people, news, puzzles and a whole lot more, including history, a guide to community groups, tradesmen and a variety of local advertisers. Supporting the community for 35 years and as a proud sponsor of Alive 90.5, we believe it's important to keep our community connected. Enjoy your coffee with station sponsor Heels to Hawkesbury Community News. Pick up a copy at your local shopping centre, visit heelstohawkesbury.com.au or follow them on Facebook.
My name is Bernie, and I'm a prostate cancer specialist nurse, and I need your help, please. My patients are struggling with a double threat from prostate cancer and from COVID-19. They're sick, distressed, and isolated. In Australia, we lose 3,500 men to prostate cancer every year. My own dad had prostate cancer, and I lost him last year. I don't want us to lose anyone else. With just a few dollars, you can help.
Will you become a Blue Hero and support nurses on the front line? Go to blueheroes.com.au now.
Find it hard to tune in? Jump on the internet, stream live at www.alive905.com.au.
It's 24 minutes past one here on Alive 90.5, Your Sound, Your Community, Business Insights with Mario and Matt. Here we're interviewing the very, very, very magical Liam Power. Mario.
Yes?
Mario, what, I mean, what an interesting career, a magician. Liam, I'm curious, as a magician, how do people feel after they see you?
Well, it's different for everyone, but there's normally people fall into a few categories. Either, you know, they'll laugh and they'll be like, that was amazing, or they'll be like, that was amazing, but I'm really annoyed, I want to know how that works. Or they'll be like, you know, very, very, very rarely, like I'm talking like, you know, maybe 0.5% of people, they'll be like, go away, this is too annoying, I can't deal with this, like I'm just doing my head in. But most people are a combination of hopefully very entertained and happy, and then either they'll leave it at that or they're really, it bugs them and they want to work it out. Like performing for engineers is quite funny, like they're just, they have to know how it works. It's just funny. Watching engineers' brains just snap when you do something that they can't compute is like probably the best thing ever.
Some of the smartest minds in the world just can't figure out what you do. Is there, now just out of curiosity with magic, I hear a lot of it's psychological.
Yeah, there's definitely a psychological element to it. It's I guess a successful magic trick is probably like making a curry. As in, like, there's a lot of ingredients in it. And if you leave some out, you're still going to have a curry, but it's not going to be as good, right? There's a psychological element to most magic tricks. It might be a tiny little bit in the background, or it might be half of it, but it's never all of it. Well, very rarely is it all of it. So that's probably the best answer I can give.
it's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I just... I always thought it was like deception in a way.
It is. There's a lot of deception too. So, you know, there's your sleight of hand. There's physically doing something with your hands that will deceive the eye. And then there's the psychological elements that go to help the sleight of hand become better. And then there's other elements involved as well, without giving too much away. Let's just leave it at other elements involved as well. And depending on the style of magic you perform and the type of tricks you want to do, you might lean more to one type, as in sleight of hand, or you might use a little bit more psychological elements, but there's always normally a bit of both.
We spoke about traveling. Mm-hmm. and the sushi expressed a desire to travel again, you know, around the world in 1910. But let's just say we travel around. And you done the famous show traveling around the world with your tricks.
Well, yeah.
Oh, you see, I know the archive, you know what I mean? I know about you. Can you share with us this one? So you done the tricks around the world. That's how the tour is calling. It's called.
Around
the world in 80 tricks.
Yes, so that was a fringe show. That show didn't get performed around the world.
Okay.
That show was only performed in Australia, but it was a show, a one-hour, one-man show, where the premise of the show was travel stories that led into doing magic tricks was kind of the thread throughout the show. So, all the stories came. They're all actual stories that happened to me because I've done a lot of traveling and performing as well. Remember the original American gentleman that I mentioned earlier?
Yes, he did.
So when I quit chefing, he said, why don't you come live with me for a couple of months and I'll teach you magic, I'll polish you up. So I resigned, bought a plane ticket, went to live with him, and he lived in rural Massachusetts, which I was kind of disheveled to discover. I was like, oh, this is very boring. And then so like in the morning I was painting his fence, and in the afternoon I was learning magic. I felt like Daniel San, you know, from Karate Kid.
Okay, that's Max Solf.
But then on the way back, I took 6 months to return to Australia. So I traveled, you know, through Europe and Asia and stuff. And I did magic along the way to kind of pay my way. So I've done a lot of that. And then again, I did another trip from Cuba down to Panama over 6 months, and I did a lot of performing through there as
Question
well.
For you, like, you know, we mentioned the magic on the street, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to answer if you don't want it, but, you know, we see this all these reality shows, whatever, the commercials, you know, the guy appears of nowhere and do the trick, you know, some trick on the girls outside and everything else. Is this a setup or is this for real? That you can just rock up and, you know what I mean, and some girls passing by, or the guys, doesn't matter, you know what I mean, and it's like, oh, look at this, is happened.
So street magic, with that genre of magic, doing magic to people on the street, that's definitely real. Like, there were thousands of magicians around the world that can do that. Some people on TV have been known to accentuate that by using some camera tricks here and there. Yeah, mostly what you see on TV can be done in real life.
Who's your best public? Who's your best audience when you do the tricks?
The best audience?
It's like as a midgets, like, you know, 5 to 6 years old, you know what I mean, or the adults? Or
I mainly perform for adults. Like, okay. I don't do kids' parties. Yeah. But I'll do, like, family audiences. Like, I'll do definitely shows where there's kids in the audience. I'd say the best audience is just the people that are there to have fun and have a good time. And just they're in the mood to watch a good show.
There's a great reviews on your website, and I'm inviting everybody to go on Liam Power, so liampowermagic.com, and you can see a lot of the good feedbacks and reviews. And you recently, you know, there's a lot of recent actually reviews, you know, in the March, in April, which you obviously you traveled in Tasmania, you mentioned, right?
Oh yeah, I was in Tasmania last week for some shows. So
did you like your tricks? It's like, oh, this is somebody come from mainland Australia doing the magic or something.
No, it was good fun. I mean, like, I don't think the Tasmanian audiences are too different from anywhere else. Like,
but that's what you're saying.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
No, so I had a couple of shows. I did one. The reason I was there, I did a show for Harcourt's, the real estate agent. Mm-hmm. And then the day before that, I did a show out a little bit south of Hobart on a farm in a barn. And the stage was a pallet raised up on a forklift. So
that's a new
those shows are really fun. Like, they get a bit loose. They're fun.
Before we have a break, I just want to ask you a question. On your website, there's a couple clips, you know, I know there's hundreds of them, but you appeared on many TV shows in Australia. I'm speaking right now. Why the cards as a tool of the magic tricks you're using when you are on the TV shows? I mean, I don't know what else you can bring, but I like it. Why is the cards only?
Well, essentially, I'm very comfortable doing a lot of those tricks that I did on TV, and they're live, one take only. So I don't want to stuff them up and embarrass myself. Plus, there's that's the truth.
That's the truth. Honest is pay is all fair. Thank you, Liam.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other things you have to consider when performing on TV as opposed to real life. the way the cameras are, the way the audience is seated, the way the host is seated, yeah, and everything like that. So, yeah.
Aren't you afraid that the people who are in the studio, they're going to see how we do tricks, you know, like the people next to you, the presenters?
Hopefully not. Hopefully it's good enough that they don't notice.
So, that's a good one. Thank you, Liam. We take a short break.
Alive 90.5.
Director of Cherrybrook Real Estate, Sam Ramone, is a specialist in property management in residential in the Hills District. He prides himself on taking the stress out of property management and looking after your investment at a competitive rate. If you need property management, please call Sam Ramone from Cherrybrook Real Estate on 9980 9860. Station sponsor.
The Hills area has one of the most beautiful cemeteries in the Sydney region.
Castlebrook Memorial Park at Rouse Hill provides the perfect resting place for your loved ones with manicured lawns and beautifully tended gardens. They cater for people from all backgrounds and you can talk to their family service advisors almost any day from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Their website is castlebrook.com.au. Castlebrook Memorial Park is at Windsor Road, Rouse Hill and is a proud sponsor of Alive 90.5.
23 minutes to 2 here on Business Insights with Mario and Matt. This is Your Sound, Your Community, Alive 90.5. Matt Caruana here. I'm very, 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 very excited about this conversation and I'm very intrigued. I don't know much about magic. I love seeing it and it honestly brings me to awe every time I watch it. I just imagine, like you said earlier on, when you were 16 years old, Liam, when you watched The Magician for the first time, you were just hooked and just taken away by it. So tell me, I'm curious, you work a lot with corporate, is that correct?
Yeah.
Because like I've seen your websites, CBA, Arnott's, the list literally goes on. Although, in the corporate world, why would they want to hire a magician?
Well, there's a variety of reasons.
To hide the money.
Yes, I do tax fraud. From I do.
Everybody was.
I do shell companies. Yes. No.
If you want to hide the money, dial 1-300 Liam Powers.
I have a giant hole. Yeah. under my house. It's
just full. That's of, what yeah. I'm doing as yeah. well. So please share with us.
So a lot of reasons. So I do a lot of, I guess those sort of meet and greet type of things where they've got their clients coming in and they're trying to show them a good time. So there's I do a lot of roving magic. So walking around from group to group, kind of breaking the ice, getting conversation flowing between groups and then you leave. So a lot of those, and then sort of bigger events like awards nights and things like that. So there's a variety of reasons why they'll want to hire some entertainment. Lately I've been doing a lot more team building stuff. Yeah. So,
how the somebody of your skills, that's a technical skills, but you know how you help those building groups. You know, I mean, networking, whatever you try to connect. How do your part of your magic help these building groups?
Okay, so if I'm performing magic, then basically it helps bring groups of people together.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get them talking and then I leave. So if I'm doing close-up magic, I might interrupt one group, start performing a bit of magic, get another group over to watch, do two or three tricks, get them really excited, get the energy up, get them talking to each other, and then I'll leave. And then that group is then talking to each other, exchanging ideas, phone numbers, contacts, etc., whatever they need to do, and then I'll move on to the next sort of groups.
That's interesting. What do you think so about this one?
I'm just intrigued when you do sort of team building events and things like that.
Yeah, so if it's more of an internal team building event, then I run it more as a workshop. So I will teach some basic magic tricks, but within that magic trick, I'm not sure they're learning the magic trick, but really what they're learning is some presentation skills and creative thinking skills and why explaining how the trick works, I'm also explaining why they work like that, and they can then apply that thinking to other aspects of their work or their life. And then also the presentation skills, getting up in front of people, presenting a trick, and how to do that more effectively really helps.
You saw Matt and your English, you know, background speaking people, but regardless of everything, we don't have all that interpersonal skills and presentation skills and, you know, networking skills. How did you learn to present? So the tricks are one thing, I mentioned this before, but then you need to open the scene and engage with the audience. How did you learn those skills to talk?
Well, if you ask anyone who knows me...
I wasn't your coach, that's for sure.
Well, if you ask anyone that knows me, I can always talk. I remember being told to just be quiet a lot when I was a kid. So talking wasn't a problem, but definitely presentation skills and talking in front of people was not a natural thing for me at all. I hated it. I was quite shy. I would never be like in the play at school, or I'd never want to do anything like that. But I really love magic, and I thought, what's the point in learning magic if I'm just going to perform it to myself in the mirror, you know what I mean? So I forced myself to start showing people. And it was basically like exposure therapy. Like, I hated it. Oh, okay. And then after a while, I started to like it. And then I got better at it. So just a long time of just doing it.
And yet you become TEDx speaker.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's the full arc, isn't it?
Come full circle. It's amazing to see your biggest fear be your now just what you do, what you love, and just it's
yeah.
Your life revolves around that now.
Exactly.
It's one of your biggest fears.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. Yeah,
it's amazing because with that comes a lot of growth. Comes a lot of, I mean, personal development in itself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I mean, the way I see magic, it's performing, but it's like public speaking in a way. Like, I'll be on stage sharing to a group of like high school students, for example. I view it no differently to you being in front, like let's say a corporate space or a conference, or you're actually at TEDx. We actually did speak. It's the exact same. It's performing, right? It's a matter of sharing with the crowd an experience.
Exactly. And structuring that to try to create, you know, moments of wonder and keep them engaged and make them laugh, you know, and, you know, take them on a bit of a journey at the same time. So, you know, yeah, it's exactly the same as public speaking, but with, you've got to chuck some magic tricks in there too.
of course.
Yeah.
So
did you do a TEDx talk?
Yes,
I did. Yeah.
LiamPalmerMagic.com. Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Unfortunately, you can't see it on the internet, Liam, because they forgot to press record on the sound. So
that happened to many, trust me. It's like, but this is going to be recorded regardless of everything. Well, let's go take a short break. You're listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Matt. And we take a short break and come back with a more magic from Leah Power Magic and Sue Campbell Ross sharing with us first part of the studio about how helping the young disabled people.
Live 90.5.
We don't have to worry about nothing. We got the fire and we burn in one hell of a something. They're gonna see us from outer space, light it up. Like we're the stars of the human race, human race. When the lights turn down, they don't know what they heard. Strike the march, play it loud, giving love to the world. We'll be raising our hands, shining up to the sky. Cause we got the fire, fire, fire. Yeah, we got the fire, fire, fire. And we're gonna let it burn. Can't put it out, out.
We can light it up, up, up. So they gon' put it out, out, out. We can light it up, up, up. So they gon' put it out, out, out. When the lights turning down, they don't know what they heard. Strike the match, play it loud. Giving love to the world. We'll be raising our hands, shining up to the sky. Cause we got the fire, fire, fire. And we're gonna let it burn, 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 burn. We're gonna let it burn, 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 burn. Gonna let it burn, 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 burn. We're gonna let it burn, 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 burn. When the lights turn down, they don't know what they heard. Shut the match, play it down. Giving love to the world. We'll be raising our hands, shining up to the sky. Cause we got the fire, fire, fire.
Fire, fire, fire. 12 minutes to 2 here on Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Matt here on this Friday afternoon. Liam, we've had an amazing conversation so far. I'm loving it. I'm enjoying it. And I want to dive further into it. Really do. Mario? So, yeah, I asked why they would bring you in, but are there other audiences you would like to tap into? I'm curious with your magic.
That's an interesting question.
Right? Yeah, we've done the commercials and you fly, I presume, because you've done the Benefit Cosmetic and Airways, you know what I mean? Maybe you got a first class tickets on the Airways. Did you?
No,
seriously.
I've never had a client fly me first class, I can say that. God, yeah. Unfortunately. But if anyone's out there and listening and feels
please feel free. I'm likely just going to...
Before COVID, BC. I used to do a lot of gigs around Australia, mainly on the East Coast and then some stuff in Adelaide and Perth every now and then. But, yeah, fly around a lot and then work on cruise ships a bit here and there as well. So you'd often fly to the ship to get on or you get off the ship somewhere and fly home. So, yeah, definitely fly around a lot.
So COVID BC, working on ships... Can you just give us briefly the, some reality check working on the ships before the COVID? Was it fun working on the ships?
It was fun, but like anything, after the first few times, it was very much the same thing over and over. So I was only on there for a week at a time, and then you get off and fly home, or a week or 5 days, 5 or 7 or 10 days. It was definitely fun, but it wasn't quite as glamorous as you would imagine, right? Because you're there, you're on there and you're working, you're not like on holidays, and you're going to the same places a lot of the time. So
it's not like the glamorous as we saw on the TV.
If you're a passenger, I'm not complaining, it's really fun, but I'm just saying like it's not as people be like, oh, that must, go to new places every day. But in reality, I'm going to the same.
But instead, this is the same room every night. So did you go on a commercial cruising, a part of your Tintin experience with your husband and 3 kids? Did you ever go for the big cruises?
No. I quite often would see a cruise ship and I'd look and think, those people are going to have dinner cooked for them. Their children are going to be in a kids' club.
So that's the reminiscence on your old one, right? It's so like you've done everything for your family on a yacht.
That's right. I was the crew.
So you were a magician in your own way, making the cooking on the waves and everything else.
Absolutely. I often used to say that the dishes that I can produce, which is a couple of tins.
Yeah.
Of baked beans and dried food, I can feed an army.
Yeah,
but give me a whole lot of ingredients and lots of time, and I don't know what to do. But under pressure, magic happened in that galley. Yeah.
Have you been under pressure on a stage, Liam?
Yeah, heaps of times.
Yeah. Ask more, and you're like, oh, come on, I want to finish the show.
No, I wouldn't say I do regularly do multiple encores, but definitely under pressure where things go wrong and you're trying to actively think of how to fix that up while at the same time,
very interesting.
Keeping going. So, it happens. Like magic tricks go wrong sometimes, and anyone who says they don't is lying. Like they do. It happens to everyone. Not like very often, but it does happen.
What was your biggest disappointment in running business?
Sorry?
What was your biggest disappointment in running your own business?
Biggest disappointment?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay, that's a good one.
It is a good one. Probably just the fact that, you know, there's monotonous, boring stuff like everything in life that you have to keep doing every day to make it run. It's not anywhere near as glamorous.
Did you ever consider taking an apprentice to be little Liam Power?
No. Never.
Not yet. Okay, that's a good one. So, before we wind up the show, it's what month is allocated to two? So
7 minutes to two, yeah.
7 minutes to two, we need to wind up our part of the show. Liam, for those who want to reach you, book your time, to see your magic, enjoy your true magic on the stage, how they can reach you?
Probably the easiest way, just head straight to my website, liampowermagic.com. And then all my contact details are on there, phone number, email, as well as you can see a whole bunch of videos and other things, read about what I do, see what I do, see some feedback.
Because you work with a wide array, so of whether it be corporates, you also do conferences, I think I saw as well, you do... tours, like who would reach out to you?
Basically, if someone's having an event and they want some entertainment, they'll often reach out to me.
Any event with some entertainment?
As I said earlier, I don't really do kid shows or anything like that. Probably because I'm not very good at them, right? So doing a kid show is a whole different type of act, and there's a lot of magicians that specialize in that, and if someone wants a kid show, I refer them to someone who specializes in kid shows because they're going to get a better product. I'd rather not do an average kid show for somebody. I would rather them get a really good person. But when it comes to sort of adult shows or family shows, mixed ages, I'm happy to do most of those.
Absolutely. liampowermagic.com is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes. That's correct. Yeah. And Sue Ross Campbell, thank you for being our guest today. It's time to wind up. It's 5 to 2, and that was another episode of Business Insights with Matt and Mario. We'll take it now. Cut off the show, and it's time to give our mics to another crew. It's starting 2 p.m. So Sue, Liam, thank you for being our guest today. After 6:30 p.m., you can go website alive905.com.au, and I'll upload this podcast with Sue and Liam, and you can check this awesome interview. And please, guys, be in touch with them, show them maximum love, engage the Liam, you want to be happy, you see this magic, and Sue, who she helps a lot of this community around us which we don't see it. So thank you, Sue. Thank you, Liam.
Thanks for having
us.
Thank you, guys.
Local news and all the great music.
On your sound, your community.
Alive 90.5.
Term 2 courses are open for enrolments at the Parramatta College, and they currently have a special double discounts promotion on eligible courses, which includes languages, leisure and lifestyle, computer skills, business and work skills. They also offer various nationally accredited courses fee-free. This training is subsidised by the New South Wales Government. Ready to rock and roll? Call the Parramatta College on 9687 2072. That's 9687 2072. Visit parramattacollege.edu.au for further information. T's and C's and eligibility criteria applies. Station sponsor.
Ever have that sinking feeling that you forgot to get the gas bottle filled for the barbecue or outdoor heater? Do you worry about transporting a gas bottle in the boot of your car? Kangaroo Gas has got you covered. Kangaroo Gas will deliver 8.5 kilogram gas bottles to your home or business. Call 0405 LPG LPG or go to kangaroogas.com.au. That's 0405 LPG LPG online at kangaroogas.com.au or find them on Facebook. Station sponsor.
Alive 90.5.
today's bulletin, brought to you by Your Sound, Your Community.